Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, wonderful, hilarious, stupendously glasses-ted. She's wearing glasses. Co-host Monica.
Glasses-ted. I think that's
I just got lost. You know, you try to always say something about my appearance, and I was like, I'm going to do it right back. And I really failed, so sorry about that.
It is really not easy, though. Like, no. I feel you on that.
I mean, I could have said, like, the girl with the puzzles in her background.
Yeah, that's one puzzle in one box for this thing where you can roll the puzzle in later.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I
see
was
that
smart.
You're taking Fist's advice and just going out there and getting geeky with puzzles.
Oh, I totally already built my Lego night bus of Harry Potter, so I'm all down for that. So hi, Amanda. How are you doing?
I am great, thanks. I'm really excited.
Yes.
Today.
About what?
No, nothing in particular.
Nothing in particular?
Nothing to do with our incredible guest who's coming live all the way from Canada.
I mean, we have quite an influx of Canadians recently. And I mean, I just like to introduce the ear candy to everyone. Because we have a guest right now. Or not right now, today. And right now.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Why so shy?
I was trying to figure out like a good time to jump in. And it was like not in the middle of that because I like the back and forth that you guys were having. So I was like, let me leave that alone and just keep listening. And I was like, oh, wait, it's my turn. And I jumped in and I got hit with the skipping rope at that exact same time. So
you're like, it was double dutch and you were trying to jump in the middle there.
I was bouncing back and forth and then I forgot what I was doing. And somebody's like, go. And I just jumped in and just right in the face.
Yeah. So, hi, this is our guest. It's Siege, who is an awesome artist that
Hello.
We want to talk to.
And Siege.
Yeah.
I would just say awesome artist, all around awesome person. And one of our members or one of the awesome people that we met in the awesome community that Amanda and I met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's basically the perfect network platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have met you if I didn't join that. So that's really cool.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How sad would that be if you didn't have Amanda and me in your life?
<You're> very sad. I wouldn't be playing Final Fantasy. So I would
really? It was out. We were the cause.
Yep. That's why I'm on that. That's why I'm still playing.
Now I feel I need to go back.
Oh, no,
now
okay.
I feel bad that I don't play anymore.
Yeah, you should. You should.
You don't play either.
Still installed.
I know.
Everybody jumped ship. That's just kind of what happened. But it's okay. It's okay. I'm still enjoying it.
Are you on Spriggan too?
Yeah, I switched over.
He switched as well. Left us all behind there. Well, okay. There was no one there to leave behind. So, well... Go, but go with God, or how do you say it?
I have no idea, but
I
yes,
don't know.
I will do that.
Liturgically.
So, hi, Siege. Welcome to Geek Herring.
Hello. Thank you.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you? Who are you?
Yeah. My name is Siege. I am an illustrator, freelance illustrator from Canada, originally born in England, and I am... I do Twitch. I live stream on Twitch. I used to make YouTube videos. I will be going back to making YouTube videos, making an ongoing video mixed media type series on there. All around broke person. So that's
me. All around broke person.
That's it. I'm trying to just go down different avenues and find ways to kind of make things work is what I do.
So, well, you're rich with talent.
Yeah, and just lacking the business prowess to really make it into something. That'll change this year.
That's the right attitude.
Exactly. And you know, sometimes it just takes time and a bit of grinding. Yeah. Like a bit of, I don't know. Sometimes people just blow off like this. And
yeah, no, it definitely does happen.
We it see all your stuff. I have a picture of you hanging right in front of me.
So. Oh, thank you. I always tell people, like, it's super surreal. Like, even after years of, like, you know, selling prints and doing conventions and stuff, when somebody's just like, I have your art in my house, I'm just like, what? Like, every single time. It never stops being, like, exciting, but also just crazy to me. But I'm really thankful for you for buying
it. You were going on conventions?
Yeah, back in the day, I did a couple of them. And then I kind of slowed down with them because they were very annoying.
Exhausting, I guess.
Yeah, they're very tiring. I do like them. I like the interaction you have with people, but, like, you know, you also have to interact with people you don't like. Which is like somebody shows up and you're just like, oh, this is that person that created a problem with me, even though I don't care about them. And then you're like, oh gosh, now I have to deal with them, and they're sitting there judging you and stuff, and you're just like, why are you here? So, you know, that happens sometimes, but you know, because it's such a small community. So if somebody sees, like, you said something on Facebook and they're like, oh, I didn't agree with that thing, we are now mortal enemies, right? It's just like, we're allowed to disagree. Don't understand. So that happens. But, you know, it's never actually turned into anything weird. But at the same time, it's just like that kind of minor discomfort. I was like, the internet, I can just avoid them completely. And I like that. So it's all good.
People sometimes, I think, don't think the second step, that you eventually potentially could meet people that you talk right. shit to online.
Right.
Also in real life. So exactly. It's just, maybe think before you just randomly troll people or just a dick on the internet. But that's something we come to very often on our show, that people just mm-hmm. don't think that that's a thing.
Yeah. So, well, but you know. I like to focus on the other aspects of things, the stuff I can do rather than the stuff I don't do. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, that's good. Are you ready to head into our rapid fire question round?
Yes, I am.
This is an opportunity for our listeners and us to get to know you a little better.
Cool. Let's go.
So you have already answered where you're from.
Yeah.
So when are you a geek since?
I probably have always been, but I think when I really, like, dived into all of that was back when I was maybe in grade 10 or 11. So I don't even know how old I was back then, but I, somebody gave me a VHS and it had an anime on it, an anime movie. It was a terrible anime movie. I mean, no, it's an amazing anime movie, but it's like the worst introduction to anime ever because it's so violent and gory and terrible. Some of you guys might know it. It's called Ninja Scroll. That was my first ever anime, and it's even watching it now, I'm just like, oh my God. But, that was like the first thing that took me down the rabbit hole into just being like a complete nerd, which is, I love it now.
I'm so addicted. Looks really gross. I just Googled it. Oh
yeah.
Geez.
You don't want to do that.
No.
Okay. Now I want to.
No, I'm not sure if that,
it's a very, like, it did a lot for, it's one of those movies that did a lot for anime, but at the same time, they took topics that were very taboo and they just went all the way.
Like the Japanese do.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Japanese, there's no borders.
Yeah. What they're not quite able to deal with in public, they just put in an anime and go right. all
yeah.
in with it.
Like, yeah, I'll just put it in an anime or a manga and then just people will deal with it on their own.
Yeah.
You can process this in the privacy of your own home.
That sounds healthy. Totally healthy.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what happened with Anno, the guy that made Evangelion. Like, he just was super depressed and just made an anime. By the end, you could just tell he was falling apart mentally. It just, like, they had no budget left anymore. And they just, oh my God, it went downhill. Anyways, I'm going to stop talking about that because that's a rabbit hole.
Rabbit holes are fun, though.
They are.
Okay, Siege, what would you say are your biggest geeky influences? So you can think like books, movies, TV shows, teachers, games, or really anything that influenced you growing up or currently, but not like current geeky pastimes.
I guess like, well, in the past, it would have to be friends. Like my friend, I saw him drawing when I was a kid and I was just like, wow, that's crazy. You can draw things? I don't know, for some reason, just that wasn't something that was on my radar. So that was like probably my original thing. And then nowadays, it's probably manga and anime is like my, like in terms of like the geeky side, manga and anime, those things are just like, because they tell stories that you can't tell, like that nobody else is really telling. They focus on a totally different audience, whereas over here we kind of focus on like, you know, let's make stuff for kids, but over there they're like, let's use animation to just tell a story. And I love that, and that's so that really inspires me to just keep creating, and just even just in general discussion, all that kind of stuff. It's really great. And then just, I mean, obviously, the, you know, your regular answers, it's just like, yeah, you know, people and interacting with stuff, like that's important to me too. Right. But yeah, when it comes to my influences, though, it's definitely anime, just hitting those hard topics that we're kind of scared to discuss over here without, you know, a war.
True. What would you say is your favorite anime or manga?
Favorite. That's hard. It changes. It's like, well, there's one that is always on top, but it's like nobody counts it anymore. It's just Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. That's just the best. And you can't, like, I can't even talk about it. Let's throw that away. past that, I've got Monster. Monster is a psychological type thriller type thing. It's really smart and it just blows your mind every time. We got Steins Gate and like One Piece is up there as well. But yeah, Monster's probably my number one. And then obviously the classics as well.
Cool. I don't know if you've heard our episode where we talked about anime and manga, but I know nothing about it. So, no. But I'm like, I've heard these names.
You definitely heard.
We got to bring you in.
Yeah. You definitely heard One Piece.
Of course.
Yeah. With the pirates, huge. You see.
With the pirates, yeah.
With the 800 episodes or something.
That's like 1,000 now or something.
Yeah, whatever. A lot.
Yeah. Guy's work ethic is inspiring, but also scary. The creator, Oda, he's nuts. He worked from the hospital when he was sick. Like, he doesn't stop. So,
wow.
But yeah, hopefully he doesn't do that anymore.
I like the how it gives you somehow a different perspective, since you're also an illustrator and animator and stuff.
Yeah.
You also always consider the backside of all that stuff. So
it's true. That's ooh, I almost forgot one. Hunter x Hunter is also like, it's probably like it flows between first and second. So sorry, I had to bring that up to say it.
That's fair.
Okay.
I'll have to check them out.
Yeah, no, Hunter, that's so I got my, is it okay if I go down this
yes.
road?
Yeah.
Oh, so I got my dad into watching anime recently, like just over the past year, and it took me years to get him. I had to hit him with so many dope recommendations for movies on Netflix and go to the theater, and I finally, he's just like, I trust your judgment, my son. He said it just like that. And so
I can't like, imagine your dad having that voice.
it's literally just like that. Sorry, child. So he watched the Death Note movie on Netflix when it came out. And that movie, for anybody that has seen the original Death Note, that movie was just, it was a mess. For anybody that hadn't seen it, and I noticed this, anybody that hadn't seen it, I was like, it's probably just a fun, exciting movie to watch. So I'm just like, Dad, you like that movie, right? He's like, yeah, it was really great, blah, blah, blah. I was like, can I show you the original? I think you'll really like it. And he's just like, all right, go on then. I put it on. He's like, I have to read? I'm just like, Dad, it's okay. I'm sorry. He didn't like the whole subtitles thing, but he finally got over it. Next thing I know, he finishes the show without me. He just got so hooked. He watched the rest of it without me. And then after that, he realized, like, it was funny because there was like an episode in there where there was a murder. And he's just like, this is not for kids. Like, this is like a proper story. And I was like, yes, I've been trying to tell you. And then from there, now we just watch anime all the time. It's like our bonding time, just watching different
that's
anime
so
together.
Nice.
So it's so really cool. So anyway, sorry.
That's a nice heartwarming story.
I'm so hype about it. It's so cool to finally have. I was just trying to get my mom in on it. She's just like, nope, I won't watch it. But every time she looks at the TV, so she'll be sitting there ignoring it. And then she looks at it and starts watching, and then she's hooked. And I'm just like, and then she just cuts herself away. I'm just like, why are you fighting it so hard, mom? Just give in. Give in. Just I know you love in. This. Yeah. Eventually, I know I'll catch her on something. There's some really, really mm-hmm. good heartwarming anime that I think she'd be interested in.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Okay, and here is a rapid fire question that I think you're pretty excited to talk about. What are some of your current geeky pastimes?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. No. Well, outside of drawing, which I do draw for myself, and I like recording and doing Twitch and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, it doubles as your main work, but also like something you like to do just for you. So outside of that, though, I ride an electric unicycle. Woo! And it's my favorite thing. It's actually become my number one passion, and which I never thought would happen, especially because like I'm 32, I think, and like it's been quite a while. And you know, you think when you hit this age, you're just like, oh, you know what? I've tried most things. I'm like, I might get new hobbies, but I don't think that anything will shift the hierarchy. And then all of a sudden I started riding, and it was just like just complete freedom. It's like you float around. It doesn't feel like anything you've ever experienced before. It's literally like flying, and everything is open to you outside of obviously being in the air. You can go over any sort of terrain. You can ride anywhere. You can go for extremely long distances. You don't need a car. If you're in the city, you get anywhere faster than any car or any other sort of transportation. And it's just like you're just in that moment. There's nothing is off limits. You can go anywhere and you're just free to be on your own, and just the sound of the wind or your music in your ears or whatever it is that you have, you just float around. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so weird. Like when I got it, I expected to just use it to get to meetings, to do more art, or to travel to places that I could go and draw in a field. I didn't expect it to actually become something that I love to do itself, but like through it, I've met like amazing people. I met like amazing community. I met a dude the other day who has the same wheel as me. He was asking for help. Turns out that he actually worked on the original Magic School Bus, and he's a director for another animation studio. And it was just like, what? And so I actually need to contact him to hopefully get some work. But
nice.
But like, you know, it's just, it brings in people from all these different realms of life. And also the fact that you have zero carbon footprint, right? So I'm silently riding around at really high speeds without polluting anything, right? And I can get anywhere. I can go super far and just, you know, plug in, charge up at any coffee shop while I'm having a tea or whatever I'm drinking, and then head off again. And it's just, it made me a little bit more like conscious about the planet and like wanting to protect the planet even more now that I'm like, you know, I'm going green, really. And yeah, so that's my outside geeky thing. I love it so much. And it's actually been helping me out and just keeping me creative as well. Because like, whenever I need to clear my head or I need to think about something, I need to figure out a concept. Most people jump in the shower and they're just like, all right, let me think of some ideas in here. I jump on my wheel. And so that's my thing.
That's probably the greatest love story I've ever heard. I'm just thinking, where can I get one? Can I use it here? And how much is it? And how fast does this go?
I can give you all those details.
That's amazing. I have to say, like, you post a lot about your electric unicycle in your Instagram stories, and yeah. I love watching them because not only does it look really cool, you can see and sense the excitement in you as you're yeah. doing it. And it's like, this is really cool. This looks so much fun.
Yeah.
You think it would fade after a while, right? It's been like months. I got it in the winter. You'd think after a while you'd fade. But like, I watched a bunch of YouTube videos of like guys riding and stuff. And with one dude I was watching, the whole time he's smiling. And he's made like 100 videos. Every single one, he's just got a big grin on his face when he starts riding and going kind of fast and swerving like between cars and stuff, right? Because he usually uses it to get to work. And like, you know, watching him ride and you're like, yeah, I feel it. Or you watch another video and you're just like, all right, I got to get outside. I got to go. I got to ride too. Right. So yeah, it's hard to hide the happiness I feel when I ride. And even when I'm tired and like my legs are burning after riding for like 80 kilometers or something, right? I'm in pain now. And I'm still just like, I'm just going to pop to the store now and just go get a drink or something. I'm just like wobble out to my wheel and hop back on it. But, you know, it just, it's really, I try my best to describe it.
It's a description that you say it resembles so much flying, or it's like mm-hmm. as close to flying as you can get on the floor, like on the ground, yeah, on the floor. That's something that's really, that got my attention.
Yeah, it's definitely a feeling that you can't really describe until someone tries it. And the passion that comes with it is also something that you don't expect until you jump on it. So yeah, like once you get past, because it's hard at first, right? It's like learning how to ride a bike for the first time again. But once you get that click, and it's always a click, once you get that first click, you're like, oh, I get it now. This makes sense. So that's what they were talking about, right? Because before that, you're nervous and you're shaking a little bit. And you're like, this is like, it's one wheel. How do I trust this thing? Right? And this is totally weird. People are going to look at me. And once you get it, though, you're like, I don't like, look at me. It's okay. Like, you can talk to me. And you know, you're waving at kids. Dogs are trying to attack you because they don't understand it. Right? Like, people are giving you dirty looks because they're like, different things. I hate different things. Right?
Different things are the worst.
Right? Change? Right?
That's not in my community. Horse that you're riding on.
Right. Yeah, so you get a lot of that kind of stuff, but with it all comes like extreme positivity, and like people are super excited when they see you. They're like, you're that one wheel riding guy. I'm like, that's me, bye. Right? Like, it just right? Or when they hear how fast it goes, they're like, what?
How fast does it go?
The one I have goes 50 kilometers an hour. So I don't, if you guys use miles, it's about 31. No, I have
kilometers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah, it goes fast. Wow. I mean, I don't usually go that fast, but it has that power for me. Like, if I'm ever in a dangerous situation where I need to get away or past the car, which has happened multiple times because cars are crazy, I have that power to pull on to just accelerate fast and get out of the way of something. So
that's really cool.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
I'm glad I could explain it to you guys.
Scared to like be on something like that through Toronto.
Yeah,
I
was no, thank terrified. You.
I don't even like driving a car in Toronto.
Oh no, I won't drive there. I used to, back when I had my license, which I got rid of, but back when I had my license, I used to drive in Toronto, and that made me, I'm pretty good with anxiety. Usually, I mean, over the years it's gotten worse, but you know how that goes. But in Toronto though, driving, even on my best day, I was just like, I'm terrified. This is the worst. Riding a bike was a little bit better, but I was just like, let me just stick to the subway and transit. But like, all of the weird stuff that happens on the subway, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable on this either. This is just, I so really true. Don't like this. I want to be able to get myself around. And so, I mean, I go in with the understanding and knowledge that at any moment in time, I could get hit by a car. I could be doored by something. I could go down and not come back up. I understand that. But I also understand that going down my stairs after the podcast, I could trip and crack my head open. Right? Like, I understand that your mortality, it's such a, I shouldn't hold you back from doing things that you might be interested in doing, because you can go out or you can get injured or hurt in a multitude of ways, right? And like, it just, yeah, it's just, you know, it comes down to making educated risks, calculated risks, and understanding the limits of the things that you do. I'm a very cautious person. I seem spontaneous, and I am in that sense, but I'm very cautious about the things that I want to continue doing. So when I started riding, I learned very, and I did this with art as well, but I learned very, very slow. I rode really slowly for over 200 kilometers. I was riding like under 18 kilometers an hour. Like, people were walking past me at some points, right? Like, joggers would be like, what the fuck is this guy doing, right? Like, just passing by. I went slow. I had to fall before I was able to go faster. I had to, you know, try, see how the wheel handles on certain types of bends and bumps and going off-road, on-road. I had to do all of these tests before I was even able to allow myself to go past a certain speed limit, right? So I need to know the ins and outs. And that's my way of having an educated and informed risk.
And it's not really more dangerous than riding a motorcycle. I mean, you'd have just, if you're riding a motorcycle, you're just going faster and you have a 200 kilo machine underneath you.
Right.
But you don't have more equipment, I guess.
Yeah, there's no roll cage to protect you. Yeah, so it's, again, I mean, even with driving a car, I mean, yeah, you have that cage around you, but, you know, you get hit on the highway, it can only do so much, right? Yeah. So, again, it's just like, we just have to make our choices as to what type of risk we consider to be okay and the type of fun that we want to have, and just understand that, you know, no matter what, like we could be like, I love eating, I'm a food blogger, and you make a dish in your house and you eat it, and then all of a sudden you choke or you have an allergic reaction to it and you end up in the ER. Anything can happen. So it's just like, why stop yourself from doing something that you might be passionate about or, you know, might really enjoy out of fear of you know, the what ifs. So I try to judge it like that. And that, like, over the years has allowed me to do some really, really cool things and things other people who look at me would be like, oh, I would never do that thing. And like, when I explain this to them, they're like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. Some of them, of course, not everybody, but some people are just like, I'm going to try it out. I want to try something that I wouldn't have done. And then they give it a shot, and sometimes they fall in love with it. Sometimes they don't like it still, right? But it's just like, it's a roll of the dice. And at least they tried. I like that. Mm-hmm. There we go.
This I love what you said.
Me just ranting. I apologize.
No, I love what you said. No, because it's so valid for so many things. You can't let fear stop you from something that you're probably passionate about.
Yeah, that actually goes for everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super guilty.
So your other life passion is your art.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about what kind of art that you do? Because we've made allusions that it's beautiful, but tell us what your art style. Tell our listeners who haven't seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah. So my style is very weird, and it's hard for me to describe too, because it's kind of like a mix of abstraction, but also not abstraction. I try to focus on feelings more than anything else, which is like, people be like, go to fine art then, bro. But like, I try my best. To kind of catch that with the abstractions. Back in the day, I used to call it like finding calm within chaos. That was like my thing back then. I was like, yeah, I'm so edgy. But I just kind of slowed down with that a little bit. It definitely is kind of hard to describe. I go down different paths. I mean, it kind of goes the same way as this. I go down different paths. I try different things. I was super into fashion illustration. So a lot of like the girls that I would draw in my work were very fashionable. I'd try to keep up with the different styles and whatnot, different like types of shoes and whatever. I got addicted to watching makeup tutorials because I love the editing style. So I would watch different editors. Like there was a girl named Claire Marshall, or Hey Claire, back in the day. And her editing style was so good for both her makeup and her fashion stuff. And I would just sit there and watch it all day long because it was such a clean format. I'm like, this is just like juiciness. And so I'd watch it all the time. And the next thing you know, I'm just like, I'm drawing my characters. I'm just like, oh, let me try out this type of style. Or wait, what if I give her this type of makeup, right? And it allowed me to kind of play with it. Because, I mean, really, if you think about makeup, it's just painting on the face, right? And I'm literally painting a face. Now I can paint more on the face, right? I think it's kind of good to understand, you know, certain things that some women would like to do or, you know, certain styles that they would have, or even different cultures. And like, if you have a character from this type of culture, what type of, you know, either decoration for an event or a celebration, or what type of makeup would they wear as a regular type thing? Or what type of clothing and garment design would they wear? Is it like this material because the temperatures are hot or cold? Like, that kind of stuff excites me. So when it comes to the artwork, it's, for me, it's a lot less about the style itself, even though, you know, sometimes you get hooked on that because of outside influences. It's more about the messages. So I've really tried to, these days, I really, really want to focus on kind of pushing messages within my work. And it's always been about just kind of what we're talking about, like, you know, making people feel better about themselves, like promoting, like, you know, positive and good mental health. That's a big one for me because I struggled with depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And, you know, it's heavy ADHD, having teachers as a kid tell me that I'm stupid and lazy. And then like, and also proving their point by not doing any work and not being able to answer half the stuff they're saying, until one day I was just like, I'm interested in this. And suddenly I'm the top in class. Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah. So I try to push that stuff and with my work. So I think the work itself to me is more of a tool to use to connect, rather than the artwork itself. I learned a lot of stuff along the way of doing that, which has allowed me to kind of stand out as an individual.
So when you say connect, do you mean connect to the people or connect to yourself?
Connect to the people. So if I can go off on another tangent for a moment, please.
Anytime.
recently, like for the past few months, I was completely blocked. I couldn't draw at all. I was doing a little bit because it was work, but I just couldn't connect with it. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, am I going to quit art again? Is this happening? Because I was just like, I don't like it. I hate it. I don't want to draw anymore. And the only time that I felt free was riding my wheel. And so I was just like, man, I'm just like, and I, oh, and this is also when I went into debt for the first time in years. So I was just like, because I wasn't doing any work. I wasn't looking for jobs. I was just kind of just stuck. And I then just before, because I just came back from Florida, as you guys know, before my trip, I had a, like an aha moment. I look back and I'm like, what did I start this for? And I realized the reason why I started art was because of that friend that was drawing from people's parents. And it wasn't because I was jealous that they were excited or because he had a skill. It was because the parents that were getting the artwork were so excited to get that work. They were so hyped and they thought it was the coolest thing. They thought it was so sweet that a kid was able to draw like this, all that kind of stuff, that I wanted that that connection. And so I started drawing pictures and my parents were just like, oh, that's really nice. That's really great. And for me, it wasn't the praise that I was interested in. It was the fact that they seemed so happy. And so I kept on drawing stuff and sharing it. I came up, I started posting on different forums and stuff. And I'd write long posts because people were just like, this really helps. And then when I started making YouTube videos, it was all about mental health and so on. And people were just like, this stuff really connects to us. And I made sure people knew I'm not a doctor, none of that stuff. These are just opinions and things I've gone through. And this is how I dealt with it. Maybe it'll help you. And that connection that I had with people was so important to me. But there's a thing. People will say, like, do stuff for yourself. Right? You got to make yourself happy. You got to love yourself. I feel like there's a way that that can be taken in a positive way. And it's also a way it can be taken in a negative way. And I took it in a negative way I was just like, draw just for me. Don't think about other people. But the thing is, for me, thinking about other people and doing stuff to make other people happy is a positive thing for me. It's a motivator. It makes me think, like, you know, my worth. Because I'd wake up and I'm just like, why am I even here? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what is, like, because there's no guideline. So when I changed up and I started thinking, you know what, I want to focus back again on making other people happy, whether that's me cussing up a storm and cracking stupid jokes, making fun of myself, making just, you know, just doing just craziness or screaming on stream or singing, like whatever it is, there's a multitude of ways that you can do this, right? Outside of just art itself, focusing on bringing that style of value to people and bringing that kind of level of positivity. And it doesn't even need to be positivity all the time. Sometimes it needs to be just a hard kick in the ass, right? But bringing something to somebody, it became such a big focus for me and it brought my passion back. So just like you guys have seen it, the past two pictures are my first pictures back after my whole break before I was ready to quit. And I realized it's not even about the art. It's like the art is just a catalyst. It's a function that I have a skill in that I built up over years, and I can use it now to really help kind of bring this message to people. And I'm so excited to do it.
You mentioned that, yes, people say you have to do it for yourself. And
yeah,
but it's kind of, you basically just, you do it for yourself, but it makes you happy when you see the reactions in other people.
Right.
So that's basically how you want to create the message first that people can connect to, because that's what you want. You want people to connect with the story and not just with the drawing that you make, but with what you want to tell with your art.
Right.
And not just, oh, she's a fancy little girl here.
And even if the message leaves me out of it, like even if it connects in a way that makes them think like, oh, you know what, I need to rekindle my relationship with my family, or maybe I shouldn't beat up my dog, right? Like stuff like that. That's just a YouTube thing that's been happening. right?
Asshole people beating up their dogs.
But like, you know, something that makes them, like, connects with them and makes them think, yeah, maybe I can go this way with this thing. Maybe I can think that way. Maybe I can stop doing this terrible thing. That's like, you know, even if I'm completely out of the equation, I've still done my job because it's helped in some sort of way. And I feel like that's the way that I'll leave my message on the planet.
I think that's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And I noticed that you have a very distinct style of artwork. It's always beautiful women and girls, and you're very abstract. And I don't know how else to describe it other than beautiful. Like, it's a very... like almost ethereal type of drawing, like artwork. It's stunningly beautiful. And how do you, like, why do you choose to express what you're expressing through women?
Well, when it does come to males, I draw them for work all the time. And when it comes to guys, like, I found that, I mean, and this might actually be a problem, to be honest with you, This might actually be a societal issue, which I didn't even think about until just now. Because with a lot of the time with men and males, it's just like we're kind of fit into like a box where we don't really express things emotionally as much. And when we do, we get kind of like, you know, dunked on, regardless of who you're speaking to, right? Like you can speak to anybody, and the only person, like unless you have a pet, nobody wants to hear it. so it's very hard to express yourself emotionally as a male. And even the way that we're built and designed, like our body types, we're very like clunky and straight. There's no flow to it. But that's not even true. There is a lot of flow to I guess the male design. But with the female design, I found that there's a lot of like gentleness and there's a lot of compassion and there's a lot of flow, and the poses that they do are very free and expressive and stuff. And it's a lot of stuff that when you think about posing a male character and they think about posing a female character, if a female character, you can pose her in many different ways, right? Like if you look even at photography, there's so many different very expressive styles that you can have a female character, and it can go from anywhere from raw and hardcore to gentle and feminine to like anything, like from a loving family type like scene to like it's always nurturing and all that, but then it doesn't even have to be. It can go a totally different direction. It feels like there's just so much, how do I put it, there's so much variety that you can get with a female character and with the female form. And so, and even just, and that's just from posing, right? But when you go past it and you go into messages and stuff and deeper stuff, like you can do so much with it. And so I found that I feel like that's why for a lot of people, it is a favorite. It's just, you can do a lot. Whereas if you have a male in those types of things, there's so many phobias and stereotypes and whatever that like, as like, you know, as like, if you're drawing like a straight character, but you have him posing in a feminine way, people are just like, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, and if you do draw it, then people are just like, oh, that's probably a gay character. And it's just like, well, not exactly. I mean, like everybody, like, first of all, like, you know, that there's a bit of more of a spectrum than just like, yeah, I'm straight, I'm not, but it's more of a spectrum. But it's like, people don't always fit into the box that we've created for them. Mm-hmm. Right. But, and I feel like with female characters, that box has been broken since birth. Right. It's always been kind of an open thing. Right. Right. You can like, you're coming up, it's just like, yeah, I'm a tomboy. And nobody says anything. Or I really like to be girly. Nobody says anything. It's just, it, you can do whatever you want in that category. And so from an artistic standpoint, it's just like, oh, cool. There we go. There's my, like my ticket to create whatever I want. And for me, I've always been surrounded by women like my whole life. Right. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, I started with a mom. It was a good deal.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. Right from the gate. She just existed. And then I existed afterwards somehow. But
right out of the gate. Right. Right.
And so a lot of people, like, actually funny thing for you guys. A lot of people thought, like, through my art style, they thought that I was a woman. And very specifically, yeah, an Asian woman. I was like, what? But so I got a message. I got a message just last week where somebody was just like, wait, you're a guy? Oh, no. And I'm just like, are you serious? Again?
Oh, no.
This happens so often. I had so many people that were upset then they found out that I was a dude, because I like to draw stuff very gently. Right. And that's another thing. It's like a role they expect, like, oh yeah, you know, if you're a dude, then you're just going to draw sexy girls doing sexy things with sexy stuff. Right. Like that's like, look at this badass woman with minimal armor doing sexy things. Right. it just doesn't make any sense. But then I'll just draw people. I wasn't even trying to do it to give off some sort of message, like in terms of like, you know, like categorizing females or being like, even being mm-hmm. respectful in that situation or in that respect. It was that drawing them in any other way than the feelings I was putting across, it wouldn't make any sense to have them in those ways, right? It wouldn't give off the same message, right? So even if I do draw a character that is in a sexual situation, it's still less in your face crazy. It's and because I've always been more about sensuality than sexuality. And that's why I did very, very terrible when I tried to jump ship and try other stuff, because like I always found the delicacy, like the delicate, the small things. When I was a kid, I used to walk home and I'd look up and I'd stare at the clouds. And I try to just see the tiny little details in the formation. I try to understand it, understand like, okay, this is not a solid, but it looks like a solid. I'm trying to understand like all the tiny little things. And then afterwards I'd look down, I'd look at the cracks in the ground and I just pay attention to the bugs walking around. It's just stuff that you miss because you're so focused on the macro, you start to ignore the micro. That was a very, very, very convoluted way of explaining why I draw women in the way that I do. And it kind of makes me think, like, if I can find a way to kind of draw male characters also opening up and just doing things that males do in general. And like, maybe just breaking past that mold of what, you know, we're supposed to do or what we're seen to be doing. Then I can pose our characters however I want to. I can have them whatever way and people will stop just assuming. Like, here's another thing. Like, when you look at like when you draw a female character, right? Like as just a solo female character, everybody just thinks that's a beautiful character or that's a beautiful girl or that's a beautiful in picture overall, right? That's all they really focus on. But when you draw a male character and you have him in any sort of suggestive posing or something different from what's masculine, people then immediately start putting in their ideas about this character, right? Their sexuality or their, like, you know, or their toxicity levels or like whatever, right? It's never just, this is a wonderful image. It's always just like, boom, societal stuff. And it shifts from culture to culture, whereas women have always been this catalyst of freeness and openness, which is ironic considering that, like, over history, like throughout history, they've been the least free people of all, right? So it's just, like within the artwork that we've made, it's always just like, yes, like this is like, you know, these are the powerful people. It's like, it's so strange. I don't understand humans.
I mean, it's basically just a connection or a mirror of society, mm-hmm. what you're saying right now, especially with a situation with how it's more difficult to draw men in different poses, mm-hmm. because also men in society have a hard time showing all their different sides, which they obviously all do have. But
like you legitimately feel insecure when you're doing it. Like I personally will feel insecure sometimes. I'm drawing something. I'm just like, oh, will this be taken weird? And I'm like, why did I even think about that?
The special thing about your art is, and Amanda already said it's beautiful, but... And it really is beautiful, but I've never actually seen art where I look at the images and I feel they go kind of right down to my soul for a reason. And I don't even know every time what story that you're trying to create with that image. But it's just by looking at it, you see that it's just not just a girl that you drew there, but it's more than that. And you can see that it's more than that because of the way that you, I don't know, did created, of the way that you try to get the message into the picture. It's just, I think you do a really great job with what you're actually trying to do, which is getting messages across.
Oh, thank you. I sometimes feel like I don't. I mean, I guess that's just an artist thing, but like I sometimes I look at my stuff and I'm just like, damn, I wish I was like this person, right? You know? And like, but I'm it makes me really happy to hear like directly from people, like, you know, that.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you shared your art shop with us a few months ago and I was looking through it, I'm just like, I don't even know what I should buy. And like all the pictures were just, as I said, just going right down to my soul where I'm like, they're just so beautiful and they do something with me that I can't describe, but they do something with me. So I'm
really glad
just
to hear that. Yeah, it's strange because, like, you know, you toil over this stuff for hours and hours. And by the end of it, you don't even know who you are anymore. And so then you put it out there for people. You're just like, I wonder what they're going to take. Like, have I lost it during the process of rendering? Like, have I lost the direction of it? But I'm really glad that, like, when you looked at the pictures, that it connected with you in some way. Because, I mean, here's the thing. I do work from abstraction a lot, right? So even some of these moods and feelings, it's more about what you feel, less and less about what I feel. And I try not to be all like artsy fartsy and have to like talk about my stuff all day long and be like, I painted this with the smallest brush possible so that I could make it, right? This is a representation of society. And like, I try not to do and put that stuff in there. But at the same time, I mean, I do feel like there is a certain amount of, I don't know, I guess just compassion and passion and empathy that I try to like put through in my stuff. And so, I'm glad that it reads. Like, this is making me really happy to know that it's actually connected and hit the spot in some capacity.
Maybe it's just that you don't notice it afterwards anymore because you poured all of it right into the picture, and then it's in the picture and you can't see it anymore.
That happened. And it happened in a real way. There is a video I made, I think it's 2 years ago now, called Brothers. And it was a test video for the series I'm going to do in the future. And
it's on Facebook, right?
I think, did I put it on Facebook? Yeah, I think I did.
I saw that. It's that with the meds and
then, yeah, that one.
And about the, that's so good.
Oh, thank you. When I made that video, I was in so much pain. I was going through, that was like the middle of just some horrible things for me. And I made that video. I worked on it for, I think, a month. Every single day I was working on it on stream. And everybody saw, like, you know, I was like, I was just so crushed, but I was working on it so hard. And the audio that I used for it was a rough copy. I was actually just recording it just to test it out. And it was so, like, it hit me so hard, like, when I was reading out my own script that my voice started cracking because I was, like, I was really feeling it. I went off script. I just kind of just went with it. And I was just like, this is too raw. I can't re-record this and make it perfect. I think the imperfection is what made it perfect. But when I finished that video and I pressed send, all of those feelings that were in that video just kind of just fizzled away. And it's the weirdest thing ever. It's so, like, it just sounds like nonsense, honestly, like, from a logical point of view. I'm like, nah, that never happened. But, like, in reality, it was just, like, a lightness of just kind of, like, putting all of those feelings into this work and then just letting it go. I never thought I'd be that guy to look at it, to make something like that and be like, yeah, this really, really helped me. But it was almost, like, therapeutic, which is why I want to get back to making content like that.
I do think it's often that when you have a mental health situation going on at the moment, and also one thing that's really troubling is that you don't talk about it and or you don't know how to put it out there and you're just hiding at home or whatever and you don't know how to communicate with the world about what's going on right now.
Yeah.
But that video is basically what every person needs to see who's going through a hard time. And I totally understand how it made you feel better afterwards because you put it out there and that's just a release sometimes that's so needed because when you're in a hard time and a tough spot in your life, you keep kind of don't know how to get out there. And by publishing it, I feel that's what you could do.
Yeah, it was like a whispered shout.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right about that. So it's always interesting to kind of look back. Like, I love that video, but it's always interesting to look back and hear perspectives from people. Like, I had a lot of people that told me, like, they watched it and they cried.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, I was surprised because I knew it was sad, but I didn't know how it would connect with other people because when I was making it, it was so much of just me just getting it all out, right?
I think so many people can relate still. That's why I touch so many people. I feel we always talk about mental health and how geeky things can help you with that. And you're just a perfect example of how being passionate and being geeky about your art helps you through rough times, helps you to connect to people, and helped you through a hard mental health patch in your life.
I hope it continues. And probably helping.
Still does.
Yeah. It definitely does. It's the funniest thing about it, and I think this goes with, like, every sort of interest or something that you have, is when you struggle with it and you're able to overcome, and I'm not talking about the mental health part, but I mean, like, struggling with your own passion for something and you deep dive into it. If you take that moment to deep dive into it and try to figure out, like, okay, why am I feeling this way? You can end up solving, like, 50 different problems at the same time just because you were so focused on your one passion, right? When I look at my wheel and I think, why do I love riding this thing? It answers questions about other areas of my life. And when I thought about, like, why am I not happy drawing anymore? It answered why I'm not happy, period. I was literally just miserable. Like, when you wake up thinking, why am I waking up, right? That's a dark place to be, right? Those are dark thoughts. And when you're able to answer a question that has to do with something that you're passionate about, like my art, right? Or even if it's something like, you know, I love, like, playing with Lego or I love playing video games or whatever. But then all of a sudden you're like, I don't want to play games and I don't know what's going on. If you take a step back and you look at it and you try to figure out, like, what is really going on? And I think that's something a therapist usually will try to deep dive into. But, like, when you are able to do that for yourself as well, which is something that I think you kind of have to do because you can't always have somebody there. I mean, I think we all have a friend that we can talk to, but I do know that, like, at the end of the day, people can suggest stuff to us and tell us all these things like, yeah, you'll be fine. Just focus on this or just talk to me for an hour. But at the end of the day, it's still us that has to make that final call.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, having, you know, stepping back and understanding why maybe you faded from this thing. And sometimes it literally is just, I'm not interested anymore. And I have to accept that, that I'm not interested. I thought I would love this thing forever, but I don't. I moved on, right? And accepting that also opens up other avenues. You'd be like, oh, wait, maybe that's how I was with my relationship too. Maybe I just lost interest and now I'm able to move on. I can't believe I figured that out from playing Pictionary, right? Like, it was just, right? It all ties together in some sort of way. That's kind of why I like, a lot of my mantras and a lot of the things that I think about, and even in my work, I focus on circles. Everything is a big circle. It's all a flow. And even with my dancing, right? Like, even when I dance, I'm always moving in circles. Everything I do is circles. And it just kind of, like, comes through in different aspects of life. Hi, I also dance.
That's what just what I was thinking.
It's like, oh, we're talking about dancing. Okay.
How have we not seen this now? What can you not do?
There's a lot I can't do.
I was wondering, when you said you tried to go the sexy route with your paintings, but then you didn't. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, I just couldn't, I don't know, I couldn't connect with it. I wanted to, and I still kind of do want to. Like, I've done one illustration that was like that, but it was just so off. I think there's a mix of things, right? First of all, when you go down, like, the I guess, the erotic aspect of art, right? Your anatomy knowledge is now put on center display, right? Like, you'd be like, you can't hide anything with clothes. You can't just put a big garment over somebody and be like, yeah, I don't know how to draw that. Let me just put a potato bag on top, right? You can't do that anymore, right? You need to know, like, proper anatomy, like proper anatomy. And then you need to understand how to pose it in ways that you probably wouldn't see in the regular. Like, you can't go outside and be like, okay, let me look for a pose for this. Like, no, nobody's... Nobody's doing that. It just doesn't make any sense. And if somebody is posed in one of those strange ways, right? Like, you know, doing yoga in the park or something, and everybody's like, you know, they're like contorted and stuff, and you sit down and start drawing them, you might get beat up. So you have to be very careful about how you go about it. And even in life drawing and stuff, right? It's very much... those types of poses don't come up, right? So you need to either have, like, either buy the Kama Sutra or have some very, very open friends. So,
okay. Right?
And then obviously the internet has things on there too. And like, you know, so here's the thing though. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of friends who are very much, like, open about their sexuality and stuff like that, right? And when I was working on the illustration for a book that's coming out called Hardcover, which is all about, like, doing a very erotic and adult work, I went to a lot of my female friends who usually don't talk about this stuff. I'm like, hey, let me ask you sexy things. And they're just like, oh, that's weird. This is weird. But, like, some of them were very cool about it and answered my questions. And it was like, you kind of got to understand that, like, there is power in it too. Because I feel it's weird because I've seen it happen many times, right? And I think this is just a debate that happened. I'm pretty sure you guys had a debate about it too, right? Where it comes to, like, sexy character designs and sexy characters in general and stuff like that. And it's just like, the battle is just like, is it taking away from the power of the character, right? Male or female? Or is it giving them power, right? And you'll have, mm-hmm. It's such a deep debate because you'll have, like, some dudes, you know, as a guy, I'll speak from the guy side. You'll have some guys come out and be like, oh, well, I like seeing, like, on those, like, commercials. I love seeing those dudes running in and they're all fit and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but you're fit too, right? And then, like, some people are looking at it like, I feel like I can't take my shirt off on a beach now because everybody's expecting to see somebody with a six pack, right? But then you have other people who are just like, well, it's just a cool design, right? It's just a cool mm-hmm. thing to see. Obviously, and it doesn't relate to me. And so when I was looking into this side of, like, the artwork and this erotic side of things, I noticed for a lot of people, it was actually pretty empowering. And so, and I noticed that with a lot of the women that, because I drew a female, of course, as usual. and I noticed a lot of the women, when it came to, like, their sexual stuff, they kept it behind closed doors. But when they were free to talk about it, they were like, the things that I heard were very, very different from the public perception of what you're supposed to hear from these people. And so then, you hear about them, like, yeah, I really love these types of designs. I love these characters that are overly, like, overtly sexy and all this kind of stuff. And for me, I think it's just because it's such a different world that I'm coming from, where as I'm drawing stuff very ethereal, and very gentle and very nurturing and that kind of stuff. I mean, when it comes to strength, it's raw brute force type strength that I usually will work with, right? But in this situation, it's strength through sexuality as well, right? And you've got people going like, hey, if I've got the assets, I'm going to use those assets for as long as I can, because, you know, age is a thing, right? So, so it was very interesting to kind of see that and kind of be like, all right, they still have the power in all of these different situations. So why do I feel bad about it? And I feel like it's because I've been told. Right. It's just like, yeah, you're supposed to feel bad about this because this is okay for these types of people, but it's not okay for these types of people. And then you've got people on both sides going yes or no. And you're just like, where do I stand? Right. But for me personally, it was very much just out of my comfort zone to do it. And this is just being real. I was scared to be seen as a misogynist. I don't want people to look at me and be like, oh yeah, you're drawing girls in these poses because you're seeing them as objects. Because it's just like, well, no. Because my female friends are also drawing girls in these same poses and is viewed as a powerful thing. So it's just like, do we just need to get out of each other's business? what is the answer, right? Is there a right answer? I don't think so. I think it's gray. I think that most answers to most things outside of, even scientists, they give you, they're like, yes, this is 99% true. But there's still that 1%, which is gray. And then, yeah. And then 50 years down the road, they're like, yeah, that was completely wrong. But we figured it out this time. And they're always jumping back and figuring out new stuff. So it's like, I still like to try again and go down the path again. If there's something I can do with it that I can kind of give off a certain message with it, if I want to. And I think it'd mostly be more of an empowering type thing, because again, I've just been meeting a lot of people who have been telling me that like they have started to feel more powerful in their sexuality, in their sensuality. And like, these are the reasons why, because I trust these people who are in my life, or, I trust my partner and I'm able to do these types of things. I give up control or I take control, but because I'm doing it actively, I'm completely in control. Like, I still have the control in those situations. And to be able to illustrate that in some sort of way is hard, because most people will look at it with outside eyes. And with those eyes, they're using perceptions and ideas that are generated by the general public. And those ideas are usually based in something stupid. So they'll be like, oh, well, this is wrong because this stuff they've been taught. Whereas the subject matter in the picture, right? If I were to draw like an actual part, like a real person who's just like, hey, I would like you to draw me with my partner doing this thing. This is something that we both want. Suddenly that picture gets leaked or they ask me to release it onto the internet. People who don't know the story behind it could look at it and be like, this is disgusting. You know, you're pushing up this male character, making him look like a champion, but you're also pulling down this female character and she's being used. Whereas in the actual situation, the actual image itself, the female might've been the one that was just like, hey, can you do this? I want to be in this position. This is my choice. So it's very interesting.
I heard recently that apparently in the BDSM community, it's not the one who's dominating people who is basically leading it on, even though they do dominate in the situation, but the one who is dominated, they set all the rules. Yeah. So what's fine with me? How far can you go? That's what you can do with me. So they have all the control. That's
literally exactly what happened last week for me. I was talking to somebody who, like, the most innocent little bean person I ever know in my life. It's like, oh, she's so cute. She knows nothing about anything. She's like a little mini Jon Snow. But In reality, she's like she just like my knowledge of just life in general. I know nothing compared to her, and she's deep into the BDSM community, right? Like, that's her thing. She got her boyfriend into it, and she was telling me. She told me about and it's okay if I go down this a little bit. I won't go too deep, but she was saying that like, in a situation when you see somebody and like when you see like those pictures or a video where a girl is wearing a collar and like her boyfriend or the person or the partner with her has her on a leash, she's just like, the girl is not an animal. She's not out of control. She's the one who's actually in control, and because she's allowed him to do this, mm-hmm. like she's completely in control of the situation. She can stop it at any point that she wants, or she or he, obviously, because you know sometimes you have the guys in the leash and the collar. But you know that person is actually allowing themselves to be vulnerable with this other person that they trust. And they have complete control. If they want this to end, it ends right there. There's no continuing. Mm-hmm. That person who has put themselves into a vulnerable situation, they have that power. And when I started hearing about this from this community of people who, first of all, completely like misunderstood, right? But when I start hearing about it, I'm just like, it flips all of these concepts on their head. Yeah. And you're just like, oh my God, do we have to start over again? Like, do we have to figure this out again? Because it's so confusing, because like what you've been told all this time, right? If you do this type of stuff, then it's considered as a bad thing. If you draw this type of thing, that's considered as disgusting, right? You do this or that, it's considered bad, bad, bad. This is good, this is bad. And then you join this other community that seems to understand communication a hell of a lot better than the rest of us. And they're just like, actually, if you do this, then this is good. And you're like, what? Mm. Are you serious? I have to start over again?
I think you probably have to work with a chip on your shoulder as a guy if you portray all of this right from the get-go that sometimes girls just don't have.
I think drawing like, you know, females in certain types of suggestive positions and stuff as a male, you definitely will get hit harder with an aspect of being considered a misogynist. Whereas if you're female, you definitely will be more empowered to do it because you're taking control and you're doing what you want to do. Whereas from a guy's side, it doesn't even matter how respectful you are. In some, like, there will be someone that looks at it and is just like, this is terrible. But on the flip side, there are always people on the other side who will look at a female taking complete power and taking control and be like, no, this is wrong because you're supposed to. And it's usually based in learned things. And that's one of the things I've kind of found. It's a lot of it is based in culture and religion.
Yeah.
And it's very much like we were taught that this is the correct way. If you diverge from that path, then you are wrong. And it's hard to combat or discuss or do anything from a logical standpoint, right? Because you can't debate emotions or feelings or stuff like that with logic. You can make the best point in the world and they can continue on with, well, I feel, and you can't say anything because it's a feeling, right? So at the end of the day, you have to agree to disagree, but a lot of the time those people don't want to agree to disagree. They'd rather just force you to change your opinion on the thing. But it's I feel like with those types of situations, I personally try to go in with as much empathy as possible. Even if a person is going to disagree with me, I try to be as empathetic as possible to understanding like, okay, these are their shoes. This is where they're coming from. I don't want to, you know, get mad at them over it. At the same time, I do wish that they could be a little bit less ignorant, but you know, not everybody is like you and you kind of understand it. And you just hope that possibly they can go about their ideology peacefully. But that's not always the case.
You can never change someone's opinion with another stick.
Right.
So that's, you can't force people to change their mind. You can just, but I think that's where art can be really helpful because it can show people in different ways.
Perspective. Yeah. It's interesting though, because again, when you have somebody who's really, really stuck on their point, like this is how things are, even when you show them a different perspective, they can see it, they can understand it, they can take it and be like, this is true, but their belief system is shaken and they get angry because you've stepped on something that they understand and have always understood. And the fact that you're bringing something into it, it causes an anger reaction. And then you have people who will lash out and hit somebody, or a war will start, which is, you know, on the worst side of things, or, you know, a fight will break out, even though both parties understand that this one party is probably correct. And then you also got pride, and oh, I hate pride so much. I hate it so much. Blind pride is just the worst. And so when you have an art piece, right, or even a game that challenges people's beliefs in an area, you know, you just have people complaining about it. And the only reason why they're that mad about it is because they can see some truth in it in a lot of situations. There's something there that they can see and they're like, I don't like this. This is going to make us question. And so then they start trying to get people to backtrack on their own words. And in some situations, you kind of have to, right? Like if you're in a country or a region or something where this group kind of controls things, is it's like you either do it or there's certain consequences for the way that you believe. And we've seen it happen over history multiple times. I mean, just honestly, just look over history and you'll see everything that's to come in the future, because humans have a very hard time changing, even with technology.
Sometimes, especially with technology.
Oh yeah, it makes it easier.
Siege, if you had some advice to give to young kids interested in getting into art, whether erotic or not erotic, what, not that young kids would be getting into erotic art, but well, who knows, to be in a, like, eventually, yeah, yeah. Like, erotic artists were kids once too.
True, true.
You know, what kind of advice would you give them?
I definitely say, first of all, art is vast. So if you don't really like creating stuff that, like, you know, has deep messages and it's just not really your thing, it's like, I just like to draw. Well, understand that there's architecture, there's design, there's all these different areas that you can do. Art is a very, very vast position with thousands of jobs that nobody really talks about. So everybody will tell you, oh, you'll be poor if you do art. But like, everything needs it. Our society is basically structured upon art, and it's not only just for entertainment consumption. So understand that there are opportunities there, and you can tell that to your parents, and you can show them the podcast. but on the flip side, if you do want to do, just like, you know, you want to create and you want to do stuff, do try to focus on ideas. I think social media makes it very easy to think that it's all about headshots and pumping out work as quickly as humanly possible to get those likes and get those comments and whatever. But it's so much more than that. I think focusing on doing stuff that fulfills you and whatever that might be, it's probably the best approach to doing this. And if, you know, and also understanding that you don't need to take this and make it a career of yours if you don't want to. You can just do it on the side if you want to. But if you do want to make it a career and you do want to do your own thing, your own style, the best way to do it is to have an opinion, have a voice, and start trying to express that in some capacity. And also, don't be afraid to borrow. Don't be afraid to borrow from people. It's not stealing or anything weird. It's just like, you know, some people have a vision that's similar to yours. It makes you feel. And sometimes you just can take stuff from that and use it to share with the world. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is just get your stuff out there, share your content with people, share your voice, share your vision, and don't be ashamed of it unless you're a terrible, terrible person. And then maybe revisit some of your ideas. But past that, I think also just being open to the opinions and ideas of other people that are around you, and try to be empathetic as possible to those ideas, and don't immediately become defensive and be like, no, this is my thing. This is what I believe. This is right. Open up a little bit more, try to understand why people might like or dislike the stuff that you do, and think about it. That's basically my thing.
Awesome. That's really good advice.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for everything that you've said on this episode. It's been pretty incredible, pretty eye-opening, and pretty hard-hitting as well. There's been a lot of serious topics touched on and discussed.
Yeah, I have a lot of the stuff in my head all swirling around all the time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me.
Siege, how can our listeners find you?
I am on Instagram at instagram.com/siegeart. That's SEAGEART. I'm also on Twitch with the same name, Siegeart, and my YouTube channel, I guess, which I don't update that much, but it's youtube.com/siegespeaks. So those are the places where I am. My website's down right now, so just hit me on the Instagram. Hit me with a DM, and I'll tell you the website. You can go there and then cry that it doesn't exist.
I can do this for everyone. Much.
And we'll put all that information in our show notes for the episode as well.
Yes.
So you can always see them there.
And all the links to all the things.
All the things.
All the things. Awesome. Thanks for being awesome, Siege.
Thanks for having me. It was really, really fun. Thanks for letting me brain dump.
It was a really great brain dump. I enjoyed it a lot. Oh,
maybe I think that we would welcome you back for an episode maybe next year. We update on everything that's going on with you, and
for sure.
And have another brain dump.
Hopefully, yes. I'll have some of my bigger projects finally underway. That's the goal.
That'd be great to hear about.
Awesome.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, and listeners, we will speak to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.